Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
How's everybody doing? So we're going to talk today about the issue of witnessing. And I just wanted to know how many of you have been witnessing? Oh, yeah, good. I love that. Seeing some hands. You've been talking about the Lord. Today, I'm just going to get my slides up here ready to go. And Lord willing, they'll load up again. There we go. So we're going to talk a little bit about witnessing and our gospel witness. So when I say the word witnessing, what comes to mind? Someone throw a line out. Sharing. Making disciples.
My testimony.
Your testimony. Yeah.
Revealing Christ.
What Jesus has done in your life. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what it brings out in your ideas, but a lot of times when we say witnessing, we end up with this kind of feelings or responses inside. I don't know if those images there I sort of resonate with you when I say the word witnessing. You know, is it, you know, or is it, I don't know what to say, you know. Or maybe it's that it's telling people they're going to hell, making sure they know, you know, you got to get Jesus. Jesus is the only way and you're wrong, you know, like I don't know what images come to mind, but lots of different, I think these images probably hit us at different times or had those experiences. I know one time I was in Bible school and we were told in class on evangelism, go out and witness to people. And it's like, oh, okay. And then we had to, you know, write a response to it. And, you know, I grew up in a small town. I was never ashamed of my faith or anything, but I don't know if I was fully understanding maybe what witnessing was. And so me and a couple of guys decided, okay, well, let's go to the pinball arcade. Now, anyone, you remember what a pinball arcade is, right? For you young people, that's before you had the game in your basement where you sit all day. This is when you used to have to go out to a store where the pinball machines were, right? And you'd pop in your quarters and play pinball. So there was a pinball center on South Fraser Way in Abbotsford, and, you know, big old brick building, you know, half the size of this room, but all pinball machines and everything. And we'd go in there, and we'd look to witness. Now, it's kind of dumb, because who wants to talk about Jesus when you're playing a game? But at the same time, it was a bit of a hangout. The youth would hang out. There would always be kids standing around. And so you could usually find people that were just saying nothing, people that had no quarters. And you'd say, hey, what are you guys doing? And you'd find some way to just weave in the story. So, hey, I thought I'd talk to you about Jesus. Are you interested in having a conversation about Jesus? And we would just sort of open up this dialogue, right? And I don't know. It didn't go very well, to be honest. I don't recall any real positives other than my friend Chris got punched in the head because he went around back to where the drug deals were going on and he started witnessing to these two guys. One guy just reached out and punched him in the head, and he kind of got the message that they weren't interested. Came back to school with a black eye. It was quite looking back, of course, it was quite funny. Well, I'll be honest, I laughed even that night. As men are wont to do, a bit sadistic at times. Witnessing is, it can be glorious and amazing and wonderful. It can be extremely frustrating, you know, trying to witness to people. It can be a mix of all things. But I just wanted to talk to you today about the idea that we need to be witnessing. And I was using the definition of witnessing as really entering into a discussion with someone centered around the topic of how to connect with God. Okay, so witnessing, as I'm going to talk about it over the next little while, is just about how to have a conversation or a discussion with somebody about the topic of God, but specifically with the idea of moving to the center of the conversation to be about how we can connect with God, how we can find God. So those kind of discussions are quite fun. I mentioned, I think the other day, I had a conversation with a young person, and it was interesting to talk about the question about God, and they brought it up. I don't know what that means. And so it led to a great witnessing opportunity for me to be able to talk about what it means to connect with God. What a delight for us to be able to do that. And so today, I wanted to take a look at this image, and I wanted us to recognize the reality that you and I are called to be witnesses. Okay, this isn't rocket science. I'm not going to blow your mind with some amazing new doctrinal truth. I'm just going to remind you of things like what's written in this scripture. Okay, respond. Can you go down a slide for me? Thank you. So this is a scripture from Luke. I went to Luke's gospel because I think Luke has an interesting take on the idea of going out sharing your faith. And I think that his idea of writing in Luke and then into Acts was largely the story about the work of the church and the work of the believers to go witnessing. And so at the end of his first volume, volume one of which is Luke, the Gospel of Luke, at the end of that one, he says, "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." You know, words at the end of the story are usually important. People read the first and last paragraphs of the chapter. And when I was studying all the time, that's what I would do, because I realized that if the chapter was on whatever, chemical reactions, and you're studying in chemistry, you read the first paragraph, it kind of tells you what this whole chapter is going to talk about. And then if you go to the last chapter, it gives you the summary. So in summary, this is what you would expect from this chemical reaction. And you could often skim through a textbook by reading the first and the last paragraph. And if you kind of got it, don't bother reading all the stuff in the middle. Right? That's how you get through school. At least, and still get to read all of your comic books that keep piling up. So I think in essence, most writing, even in the biblical writing, there is a sense in which the authors write something, usually near the beginning, giving a good understanding of where they're going, give you the details, and at the end, they summarize it. So if I take that, then I would suggest that Luke has as part of his ambition in writing this text to remind us that we are witnesses. And therefore, at the end of the story, you are witnesses of these things. What things? Well, that's why you got to go back and read Luke. You got to read the whole book to make sure you understand what those things are. But you are witnesses of these things now. And it's going to go. This witness will not just be for today. It's going to be right until all nations of the world hear this story. And then he talks about sending the promised gift, which you need to wait and stay in the city until you get it. A witness implies that you have experienced something, right? A witness implies that what you're sharing is something that you have understanding and experience with. Most of the songs we worship with today, many of them will speak of the experience. You've been so good to me. those walls came tumbling down. That's, you're resonating with the story of what's happened in your life, what you've experienced. And so witnessing is sharing your experiences of what happened. This theme of witness picks up in the second volume of Luke, which is the book of Acts. And in chapter 1, he walks through this. And what I want to do is just maybe read it first once through. And then after I read it through once, then we'll go back and look at it a little bit slower in detail. So Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1, a text you've probably read many times, but like I said, this isn't going to be rocket science, but I think as the Spirit draws our attention to it, we'll learn something today. It says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one such occasion, he was eating with them. And he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" Lord, I pray that you would just illuminate these scriptures into our hearts. Help us to understand today what you are calling us in this idea of being your witnesses. And help us, Lord, that we would learn and be able to walk out these doors and be more effective, that we'd be more capable, more confident in bringing the gospel witness to our neighbors, our friends, our family. We ask this in your name. Amen. So let's just walk through just a little bit more, just a little slower. And he says, "In my former book, O Theophilus." So in my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Okay, many convincing proofs. This is Jesus. I want you guys to really get this. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. This is the way Jesus wrapped up his ministry was by reminding them in many ways of what it was, who he was, and what he was doing. It reminds us in this sentence that he's picking up right where he left off in the end of volume 1. He leaves off saying, "You will be my witnesses." He starts volume 2. And so, Theophilus, I remind you that you and the people of God are to be my witnesses. This is what we are called to do. And the work of the witness is valid because Christ is risen. The validity of our work, the reason why being a witness is important, is because Jesus is alive. Otherwise, why do we bother witnessing? Right? It's like presenting a witness at a court case when the court's already adjourned. Oh, I have a witness. Too late. It's done. The sentence is done. It's all over. Like, there's no need to be a witness. But as long as Jesus is alive, and as long as there are people who don't know him yet, there is a valid reason for us to keep the work going of bearing witness to the good news. Amen. I'm going to note to you that the central component of our witness is, of course, the person of Jesus. Theophilus, I want to remind you, you're going to be a witness. Remember, Jesus told him everything He died. He gave many proofs. This Jesus Christ is the center of our witness, and we need to be convinced that he is alive. We need to be confident that he is alive. Then he goes on to say, and we'll go to the next one. He says, on many occasions, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. Or on one occasion, he said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So again, this is a pretty big deal because we know about John and how he was preparing the kingdom of God, and it was important, John said, to be baptized. So everyone that came to him and received his message, he said, now come down to the water and be baptized. And John himself said, I'm doing what I need to do, but there's one greater than me is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So I can tell you right from this perspective, the Holy Spirit is important. The Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit by Jesus is extremely important. If we're going to be his witnesses, we must know what it is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the word was wait. It's clearly a temporary command. It's not don't go witness. It was only wait until and then go. So you're going to go be my witnesses, but first wait and then you're going to go. But this witnessing task is not going to be in their own strength. This is your first big help. You are not going to do it in your own strength. This is your, so let this, whatever I say from here on in, remember, anything I say to you is going to be done with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. So then he goes on, and it says, they gathered around him and said, Lord, this time I'm going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set. Right? He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So again, he reiterates this topic. They ask a question. He responds with, don't worry about it. You're going to be my witness. It's not a bad question that they ask him. But to me, it illustrates the ease with which we get off task. The ease with which we get off task. I had a teacher, grade 10, and we could get them off task so easily. Right? I mean, I don't know if teachers like this anymore, but this teacher, he would start into his lesson, and we would just go, Mr. Bjarnason, yeah? I got a question for him. We'd ask him, oh, and he'd get excited. And off he would go talking about stories. And we knew all the triggers. We knew all the things he wanted to talk about. And so we would give him a little trigger, and off he would go, and we'd 20 minutes just laugh and sit there and watch as he went off. And then he would come back. Oh, guys, we got to get back to the lesson. And I don't know why. We're just rascals, I guess. But it's so easy for us to get off task. You know, you don't have to have ADHD to get off task. Right, it's easy to do. And in this case, and partly just because innately we're selfish. Innately, it needs to be about us. And so when Jesus gives us a task that's about others, it's so difficult for us to prioritize that when really what we're saying in the human condition is, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? That selfish kind of driving is always difficult, and I think it's one of the things we have to combat if we're going to be effective in the gospel witness, is to learn how to say, this isn't about me. It's not about me. It's not what I need to know. And in this case, even the question he asked, great question. When are the times? When is the kingdom of heaven going to be introduced? But Jesus said, you know what? Don't get distracted from the job. Don't get distracted from the job. It's something that needs to get done. Now stay focused. Stay on task. We can get off task in this area of witnessing, and we can find ourselves going months without ever having a conversation about Jesus. And we've been attentive to so many things that just don't matter in the moment. Like these guys. We're worrying about so many things. Martha, Martha, you worry about many things. One thing is needed. Just focus on me right now. So we get distracted so easily about questions, intrigues, investigating things. But in the end, stay to the task. I've called you to be my witnesses. And then they get brought back to task by this great little story at the end where, you know, Luke has already said Jesus is ascended. He starts the whole book with before Jesus when he was ascended. But then he goes back now, repeats this little part of the story. He says after this, he was taken up before their very eyes. This beautiful story of Jesus ascending up into the heavens. And a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking up intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? So they're standing there just, wow. Ooh, wow. Where'd he go? Do you still see him? It's like you're looking at one of those balloons go up into the sky. You know, you just see, how long can we watch it? A cloud goes, maybe we'll see it. I don't know, we're looking. All of a sudden, there's two guys. What are you looking at? What are you guys looking for? Oh, Jesus, he's up there somewhere. Why are you guys looking for Jesus? He's gone. You know, some of them stop and turn around, look, what are you guys saying? And there's these two men in white standing there, angels. He's gone. Okay? He's not, he is coming back, they said. Right? The same Jesus who was taken from you in heaven will come back in the same way you saw him going. So it's both a rebuke and an encouragement at the same time. Both a rebuke and an encouragement. The rebuke is about their standing around staring. Right? There's no doubt there's a longing in their part to see him come back down. They've always been anxious about him leaving. They've always been worried. That's why in John 14, he had said to them, let not your hearts be troubled. If I go, I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Here's that trouble. He's gone. You know, we can easily lose sight or lose sight of the task and the things that we need to be doing because we're too busy wondering, where did Jesus go? I don't know what that might look like. Maybe it's just enjoying the Sunday experience and worshiping God and then Tuesday going, I don't know if I feel it. You know, like, get over it. It's not about how you feel. There's a job to be done, right? So it's okay to stand there and worship Jesus like we did this morning. It's okay to just spend time in his presence. But there's also time when we have to know he's there and he's coming back, but now let's turn and get busy. So this angel rebuke is just to get them back into this idea of you're called to be my witnesses. The gentleness is seen in that reminder. Don't worry, he's coming back. This job that we have to do to be his witness is only until the time when the clouds split again and our Savior comes back, riding on the white horse with the angel armies at his side. A beautiful and amazing time that's coming. But in the meantime, there's a dire, urgent work that needs to be done because people are dying in their sins because people don't know Jesus. They have not discovered life. There are friends and family and co-workers who are living at this level. Some of them way down here. They're living in despair. They're living in addiction. They're living in just terrible conditions. There are people who are struggling and hurting, and they don't know fullness of life. There's others that are seemingly good, and they're doing okay, and they got money in the bank, and they go on holidays, and they talk about how good life is. But in their hearts, we know there's still a question of, why am I here? What is this for? The more you spend on pleasures, the more you need to spend, because the pleasures end, and you got to do it again. You take one cruise, you got to take another, and then another. Pretty soon, you're in the elite club of the cruising life, you know? And every time, it becomes a memory on a photograph. It becomes something you remember doing, and it's gone. And to me, that's living at this earthly level of pleasure. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the fullest. He came to restore us into divine living as he had intended it to be. That's what we're called to do. So there's a job that we must get busy and do, and we are called to be his witnesses. We're called to be his witnesses, and yet so often we feel unprepared. So often we feel ill-equipped. Situations arise, and we get uncomfortable in what to do. Situations arise, and we feel, what do I say in this? It's compounded by the fact that if you say something, you might get accused of being judgmental, or you might get accused of something. In a world where everything is right, and you might suggest something is wrong, immediately you're creating tension. And so it can be very tricky in our context to witness about Jesus. That's why it's interesting that, you know, Iran, and we pray for Iran, we pray for the people, we pray for what they're going through. Downtown last night, I saw lots of people walking around with their Iranian flags on their back, and they weren't protesting, they were celebrating. So, you know, obviously, there's something that's happened there that many of them are celebrating. But I know this, the millions and millions have come to faith in Christ in Iran recently, did so in the midst of persecution where bearing a gospel witness could get them killed. So no matter how tricky it is, there's just something so desperately you need to share with people. You need to tell them, whatever the risk might be, whatever the risk might be, you may not like what I'm saying, but I need to say this. I was reading a little book by Craig Groeschel talking about sharing your faith, and he had bemoaned the one time he went to the hospital, and someone said, could you visit my husband is not a Christian, and he's in the hospital, and he's dying. He went in and talked to the guy, and then other families started coming in, and he thought, I'll come back tomorrow and talk to him about Jesus some more tomorrow. And the next day he came in, and there was the family this time standing around the bed. He had passed away. And he went, I'd never got the chance to ask him about Jesus. Would he like to receive Jesus? So not too long later, he was in another similar situation where he talked to a guy, said, your wife is concerned with you. He says, hi, are you prepared? He goes, I'm not really interested in Jesus. And he goes, in fact, you could just close the door and leave me in peace. And he walked out the door, and he's walking down the hall, and he thought, no. I've done this before, and it was too late, and I've got to talk to him. And he went back in, and he said, you want to be left alone in peace, and that's exactly what your wife wants, for you to be let leave in peace. And you can't do that if you don't know Jesus. And I'm going to tell you about it. And the guy said, okay. And then he told him. And the guy went, okay. And he realized, I want to accept the Lord. He led him to faith right there. And he's like, I needed that boldness to just go back and say it. Even if he gets mad at me, I need to say this to him. And he did. And so witnessing comes with a lot of uncomfortable situations. It comes with the need for boldness. It comes for the need for with wisdom. It is difficult for us to be in that place. But I think we need to continue to look for that. So I want to give you a couple of things for us to consider. Can you go to the next slide for me, Joshua, if you don't mind? I think in our witnessing, I want to help you become comfortable and confident in these four areas. Because I think this is what we're going to need. We need to have confidence in our experience. Because that's what our witness is about, our experience. We're sharing, this is at the elementary level. The first is your experience, right? The second is the Word of God. You've got to be able to handle the Word of God. The third is the person of Christ. And the fourth is the work of the Spirit. These are the four key areas. I think if you want to move past the elementary elements of witnessing and you want to grow in your confidence, which as mature disciples, many of you, most of you are mature disciples. You've been saved longer than a year. So I would expect you to be able to work through these four areas and figure out how I can grow in these areas. And I want to help you with that. Let me just walk through a couple of these areas. The first is your experience. So your experience is simply just telling your story. I call this the elementary area because it's the woman at the well in John 4 who experiences Jesus, doesn't fully understand what happened, but she goes back to her town and she says, come see a man who told me everything about myself. This is the story of the blind man from John chapter 9. When they were questioning him about what had happened, and he says, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. And they said, where is this man? He said, I don't know. Complete ignorance, right? Base level, let me just tell you what happened to me. So getting comfortable with your story, right? This is the baseline of evangelism. I think you should be able to go more than just being a witness. But this is the baseline. What is your experience with Jesus being? Anyone can share that. And I think everyone has the right to share their experience. If you're sharing experiences with people, you should be allowed and have the freedom to share your experience. That's not even preaching. That's just telling them about what I experienced. Hey, I got good news. I was really depressed and discouraged. I didn't know where life was going. My friend told me I should come to church when I went. And man, something happened to me. And I realized that this is the right place. And they prayed for me. And it just like a dark cloud lifted. It was crazy. That's your story. You should be able to share that. People say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, I wasn't asking you to believe in it. I was just telling you my experience. That's witnessing, being able to share your experience. The other area is the Word of God, right? Philip was a lay member in the church in the book of Acts. Philip was not a preacher. He was not a pastor. He wasn't one of the apostles. He was a person who got saved, grew in his knowledge, was recognized as a man full of the Spirit and a good character, and was actually called and elected to be a deacon in the church. And so he's a servant, well recognized, but he converts his ministry. Whatever his job was, I don't know, but he just begins to tell people about Jesus, and he becomes like an evangelist. Wherever he goes, he's talking about Jesus. And God led him to an encounter with an Ethiopian official on the side of a road. And the guy's reading the scripture, and Philip's in Acts 8:34, it says, eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. With witnessing, we need to be able to start from that very scripture and share with people the good news from the scriptures. The moment someone begins to say, I would like to know what does the Bible say? Well, let me share with you what the Bible says. The Bible says this. Someone says, well, I heard in the Bible it says this. Yes, let me talk about that verse. And let me share how that verse fits in the context of the story of what God's doing. So in the beginning, you know, and you share the Word of God. We need to get confident in that. I love the story of the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. They were genuine in their desire to examine the Word, it says. It says in verse 11 of 17, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. We'll not worry about that right now. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And as a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. This is the context of Paul witnessing to the scriptures. This is what the scripture says. And these guys dug into the scriptures themselves and looked at them and read them and asked themselves, do you think this is true? That's an amazing opportunity to talk to people and sit down and talk about the scriptures, what they say, what they mean. I remember one guy saying to me, oh, I heard this guy talking about this psalm from the Bible. It's be still and know that I'm God. Do you know that one? I would, yeah, I know that one. That was crazy. That was amazing. And he doesn't know anything about God. He doesn't know a lot of what's going on. But we were able to take from that scripture and talk about what the good news of the Bible is about. From that scripture to share other scriptures and put it in the context of the greatness of why it's so awesome to be able to be still and know that I'm God. We have to encourage people. Paul encouraged Timothy, right? Be a workman who needs not be ashamed, that rightly handles the Word of God. So if you can't navigate your way through a few scriptures and sharing the gospel, then you need to do some work. Okay, you need to do some homework as you mature in Christ. So, you know, obviously if you're new in Christ, there's a lot of growth you've got to take in, but soon you begin to see the key scriptures that keep jumping out at you. And you need to be able to bring those to people when you're witnessing them. Whether it be John 3:16, you know, the Bible does tell us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, that's a scripture that you share in your witnessing. Might be other scriptures. As you get to know them, the Holy Spirit will bring to reminder many scriptures that you can be able to share with people. The more you get the word in you, the more is available for you in your witnessing. So we need that, the Word of God. And I said the critical is the person of Christ. Right, Paul had an amazing experience in Christ. Last week, Lily Mae shared about the thorn in the flesh and about this Paul who was caught up into the heavens and had this amazing experience with Christ. But interestingly enough, he didn't want to talk about it. It's not about me. It's not about just my experience. And he went on to say to the Corinthians in the very first, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he said, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is about Jesus. Our witnessing is not about philosophies. It's not about creation versus evolution, although that may come into the discussion. But in the end, it's not about arguing our philosophy against someone else's philosophy. It's about the person of Jesus. Even if you get into argument with other religions, it's not an argument that you're having. You're just simply wanting to point out who the person of Jesus is. And this isn't your opinion of Jesus. This is Jesus as he is revealed by God in the Word. We'll come to more about that later. I did my master's paper on the topic of Pentecostal preaching, and I was just intrigued because what makes Pentecostal preaching different than, say, Baptist preaching or Lutheran preaching, you know, like other denominations? There's something unique about the Pentecostal movement and its preachers, and so I wanted to study that a little bit, and one of the things that came out very clear was that they were, number one, focused on the person of Jesus, which was interesting because it was a movement of the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Spirit. And every service was about people getting baptized in the Spirit and speaking in other tongues. That's what was happening. And yet, if you look at the messages, they were actually not going over and over and over again about the Holy Spirit. They were talking about Jesus. Jesus. And the great was Amy Semple McPherson in the Foursquare denomination. Jesus Christ as Savior, Savior, Healer, Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and Soon Returning King. That was the anthem of that denomination. And it really was, in many ways, the anthem of the Pentecostal movement, talking about Jesus as our Healer, as our Redeemer, as our Baptizer, and as the one who's coming soon. That was the focus. And I think in our witnessing, in our proclamation, in our personal preaching, if you would call it, when you're witnessing to people, it is going to center on the person of Jesus Christ. Or as quickly as you can, try to get it there. Because that's what people need to know, is the person of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we need to be understanding the role of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Right? The entire premise of Luke's work is how Jesus did his work in the power of the Spirit, and then in Acts volume 2, how the disciples and the apostles and all the people who were carrying on the mission of God also did the work in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose of Luke volume 1 and Luke volume 2. What Jesus was a Spirit-anointed, empowered leader. You and I, as new followers of the way, we are Spirit-empowered believers, people who go out in the power and anointing of the Lord. When Jesus did miracles, it was because he was Spirit-empowered. When you're in Spirit-empowered, you can do miracles. You can. You can see miracles happen. You can pray for people and believe that God is going to do a miracle. You can hold that out. So we need to be aware. Well, how does that work? Well, we need to dig into this a little bit. We need to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. It's much more, though, than just the empowerment of the Spirit. Yeah, I think it's understanding the Holy Spirit's role in the entire process of witnessing, how he is involved in it from the beginning. John spoke about him in his section, chapters 14 and 16, about the comforter or the advocate, the one who comes alongside. When you are worried because I'm leaving, don't worry, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, and he is going to come alongside of you, and he's going to be there. Well, how is he helping me as I go to witness? When you walk into that pinball center and you want to start sharing your faith with people, I think before you do, and we did do this, Lord, help us. Lord, guide us. We always talk about witnessing in twos. when we go to the mall or we do some witnessing opportunities, send the youth group out, did lots of different ways that we've done sort of street evangelism, you could call it that, street evangelism, where you're literally walking out looking for people to talk to about Jesus. We would do it in twos, because if one person could engage the conversation, the other person would just pray in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be present in this moment. So we always engage the work of the Holy Spirit. But what is that work? What's he doing? Right? How is he going? Witnesses only share about what they know or what they've heard. Witnesses don't jump over and get in the jury, and they don't jump up and get on the bench and be the judge. They don't do those roles. They know their role, which is, I am a witness. So we let the Holy Spirit do his job. And we know it's things like conviction. We know that it is the Holy Spirit who actually transforms an individual. The Holy Spirit goes to the inside of the person and relieves them of their sins, sets them free. That's what we have in the work of the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand what he's going to do, lest we start taking on his job, and then witnessing becomes very, very difficult. It's like I think of the sales agent, right? He understands his role. He comes to you and he knows, my role is to get you to commit. So he says, I can get you this four-knife set right now for only $500. Four knives. Beautiful. You've seen them. I've showed you. He's talked about how they've changed his cooking, how they've changed his kitchen. And he's shared with them his story. And he's told them, it can be yours for only $300. He's very clear. $400 or $300, let's say three. No, you know what? Today, $250 for you. Okay, he's told them. Like, he's got them hooked. Yeah. But he needs to know, how do I go from telling them about the knife that I found revolutionized my kitchen to you having that in your kitchen and having the same experience? He needs to know, what are the steps? So he gets trained and he goes and he says, so, $250, pulls his phone out, give me your name, we can tap here, and what will happen is this, someone's going to call you. They're going to set up the payment, and then in 2 weeks' time, you will have your knives at your door. Like, it's very clear. And I think a lot of our confusion in witnessing is that we enter into it not knowing, what do I do now? Like, where does this go? And this is why you need to partner with the Holy Spirit, because you're not doing all the work. You need to say, here's the experience. Here's what you can do. What will happen next is the Holy Spirit is going to do this. You're going to open the Word. This is what's going to happen. You can share with them the next steps, what they can do from here. If you're not aware of that, we need to become educated. So the bottom line is that I want Lighthouse Church to be a strong church scattered. As strong scattered as it is gathered. Okay, we worship the Lord. We have great services. But we need to be just as powerful, just as anointed, just as aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit when we're out there the rest of the week, as we are aware of it here. So when you're walking around and you're looking for these opportunities for God to work in you, you need to be confident and strong. And that's my desire, right? At times, I got to admit, when I go out into this world, I think it'd sure be nice to move somewhere where we didn't have all this nonsense. It'd sure be nice to be able to be in a world where, you know, stuff wasn't so broken. It'd be nice to be in a world where it was a Christian community and people appreciated my values. At times, feeling like I'm surrounded by government that just doesn't get me, right? Decisions made by the government that I go, what are you thinking? And it can be discouraging. And you think, you know, I want to move to, I don't know, I don't even know what country it'd be. Some country I can just feel free. And then I'm reminded, I wasn't called to go to the light. I was called to go to the dark places. You and I are intentionally put and left in the dark place. He's intentionally not returned yet, because God wants you to be a light in the dark places. You're here, and wherever you think of what's going on, you should be an active citizen in our country, but more importantly, you should be an active light and witness in a dark place. So don't just be discouraged about just how negative everything is, but remember, I carry the light and the gospel wherever I go. And that's what I long for us as a church. I'm going to invite Jordan and Anthony to come back, and we're going to close with a reflective song. We need to be reminded of the mission of our church. It's to bring Jesus to others so they can come fully alive. to see the joy of someone coming fully alive. It's amazing. If you've never experienced being able to talk to somebody about faith in Christ and then having the privilege of saying, can I pray for you right now? And just taking them and praying a prayer of faith. We used to call it the sinner's prayer. But let me just call it the prayer of faith, the prayer where they invite Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of their life, where they ask for forgiveness because they acknowledge their brokenness. What an amazing place that is when a person lifts up their eyes and is set free. It's powerful. I want all of you, if you haven't experienced that, to know that. This isn't just about the pastor's job on Sunday. This is your privilege during the week to be able to have those kinds of prayers with people. So over the next couple of months, I've decided that I want to focus on this job, our gospel witness. Our gospel witness. And I want us to be able to be strong in what this is. I want us to take a moment to reflect on this question. If you go to the last or second to last slide on my set there, Joshua. Reflection question. Think about this. Okay, and so over the next 2 months, I'm going to spend a couple of weeks talking about the Word of God as part of your witness. I'm actually going to talk a lot about the experience because honestly, it's your experience. And your experience is woven into all these things. So I'm not going to spend much time talking about your experience and getting confident in that. You need to address that. I'm going to talk to you about the Word of God. How do you understand that? I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. We're going to spend 2 weeks before Easter and the Easter Sunday talking about the great and wonderful person of Jesus Christ, especially as it is in light of our witness about him, how we share Jesus to other people. And then I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about what he does, how he activates life in people, how he empowers you. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit's at work so you can feel confident partnering with him. And I think it's worthy of three sermons. That's what we're going to do. So over the next couple of months, we're going to focus on this, our gospel witness. But let me ask you this to start with. On a scale of 1 to 10, how eager are you to witness to others? What would it take for you to move that up 1 or 2 points? So don't try to be an excellent witness tomorrow, but this is where I'm at today. And I don't care if you score yourself a 2 or score yourself a 9. Doesn't matter. I still want to ask, what would it take to move that up one notch? And then how could these next couple of months help you be a more capable witness of the Spirit? I want you to think in your heart, is this important to me? Is this something that would be good for me to be able to spend some time in this area? I hope your answer is yes, but I want you to process that through. I love it for you to come Sunday after Sunday eager for what's next and how you can grow in your ability to be a gospel witness. So let me pray, and then we're going to close with one song. And in that song, again, it's an opportunity for you to reflect. Where am I at with this, Lord? And I'm going to invite the prayer teams to be available. If you came into this place today and there was something troubling your heart, there was a need, there's a healing that you need, there's a deliverance, there's an answer you need, the Holy Spirit wants to give it to you. And an act of faith on your part would be to step out and go find one of these prayer people and say, yeah, would you pray with me? You don't have to tell them even the details. You can just say, would you pray for me? If you want to share a little for direction or for healing, you don't have to tell the details, but you can just say the topic if you want. And they would just begin to pray for you. And I believe God can meet you where you're at. And that's going to become a part of your experience that you get to go out this week and talk to people about. Amen? Heavenly Father, help us in this. We pray that we would be your faithful gospel witnesses. We'd be able to share the good news to others. I pray that you would start to work in us, that we would have that kind of confidence to know that we can do this. With your help, we can make a difference in the lives of other people. So lead us into that place, Lord, where we won't be confused. We won't go out in anger and judgmentalism, trying to argue with people. We won't, Lord God, just hide in a shell like we don't know what to do. But Lord, you would give us that ability to walk confidently in this world, ready to give an answer for the faith that lies within us. Guide us and help us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.